places today. Turn to the book of Numbers, chapter 14, and then find your place in Joshua, chapter 14, Numbers chapter 14, and then also in Joshua chapter number 14. And we'll begin our reading in Numbers 14, verse 22. Numbers chapter 14 and verse number 22. We've come in our study in the book of Joshua to Joshua chapter 14. And I just felt the Lord leading me back to Numbers chapter 14 and just kind of correlating both of them. And this is a message, no doubt, that God has for this hour. I'll be honest with you. It's been a while since I preached in this dear church. The last time I preached there, I still had my gallbladder, amen. I'm gallbladderless here this morning. It's an effective weight loss program. It really is. I appreciate you praying for us. I can tighten my belt a little bit more. That's nice. Of course, those caramel rice cakes helps a little bit on that, Charlotte. But sounds nasty, but it's pretty good. It really is. If you put some peanut butter on top, that is. Numbers chapter 14, verse number 22. Because all those men, now this is God speaking, because all those men which have seen my glory and my miracles which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness and have tempted me now these 10 times and have not hearkened to my voice. Now he's speaking about the 12 spies here and specifically those 10 who came back. Surely they shall not see the land which I swear unto their fathers, neither shall any of them that provoke me see it. Now notice verse number 24. This is God's testimony about Caleb. And what a challenge. He said, but my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him, and had followed me fully, him will I bring into the land whereinto he went, and his seed shall possess it. If you're in the habit of marking your Bible, I want you to mark three words in verse number 24. It's the three words, Caleb, and then three more words, had another spirit. Caleb had another spirit. And I want to preach to you today on Caleb, the man with another spirit. The man with another spirit. Let's pray together, and I want to share this thought with you. Our Father God, we love you today. We thank you for the privilege of bowing our heads and calling upon you. Thank you for the shed blood of Jesus Christ and for what it means in our life. Thank you for the power of it, that if somebody is under the sound of my voice but has never come to Christ, that blood is as powerful today as it ever has been. And I pray, Lord Jesus, that you'll convict those who need to be convicted, change those who need to be changed. And Lord, I pray that you encourage your children to be like Caleb, to be a man or woman with another spirit. And help us with this, we pray. Defeat Satan, his evil spirits, in Jesus' name. Amen. We can all remember the story beginning in Numbers chapter 13 when the Lord told Moses to send a man from every tribe to spy out the land of Canaan. Among these 12 spies was a man by the name of Caleb. And when these spies came back, 10 of them gave an evil report that discouraged the people. However, Caleb, along with Joshua, gave a good report in which the people did not follow. And as a result of the people's disbelief, God sentenced them to a life of wilderness wandering. And while the Lord is in progress of passing sentence on these unbelievers, he speaks concerning Caleb in verse 24, and he says, but my servant Caleb had another spirit. And Caleb in verse 24, say right here, in other words, there was something different about Caleb when compared to the rest of the others. He didn't go along with the crowd of that day. He had another spirit. He didn't go along with the doubts and fears of that day. He had another spirit. And as we fast forward to Joshua chapter number 14 and in verses 6 through 15, I'm not going to read it for time's sake, but even though he's 45 years older now, we see Caleb still has that other spirit that caused God's blessing to be on his life. And let me pause and say here that in a world full of doubts and fears, God give us Calebs with another spirit. May I say to you that in a world where many are just going along with the tides of humanity, God give us some Calebs with another spirit. In a world of compromise and ungodliness, God give us some Calebs with another spirit.
And make no mistakes about it, when compared to the world around him, sin running rampant, disbelief on every hand, ungodliness breathing down his neck, sound familiar today about America? We need a Caleb with another spirit. And God stepped on the scene and said, listen, everybody has turned their back on me. Those 10 spies don't believe me. But I want to tell you something about my servant Caleb. He had another spirit about him. And because he did, he followed me fully. And because he followed me fully, I'm going to give him the promise of my blessing. God help us to have some Calebs in Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. God help me to be like Caleb with another spirit. Now let's look at this spirit Caleb had. Not just here in Numbers 14, but 45 years later in Joshua chapter 14. Let's look at the four things that summarize the spirit of Caleb. And may God help us to learn the lesson of Caleb, the man with another spirit. Number one, he had the spirit of believing God's word. Make no mistakes about it, Caleb had the spirit of believing whatever God said. That's a pretty good way to live your life right there. You know what? Look at Numbers chapter 13, verses 1 and 2. Just flip back one page from Numbers. I hope you've got your hand right there, your finger right there in Joshua chapter 14 as well, because we're going to be going back and forth here. I'm just trying to show you that the way he started his life is the same way he ended his life. He had a spirit, another spirit from the world, and that other spirit, first of all, was a spirit of believing God's word. Look at verse number 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, send thou a man that they may search the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel. Of every tribe of their fathers shall you send a man, every one a ruler among them. Who was it that said he'd already given them the land? God did. Now look at verse number 30 of the same chapter. When these 10 spies came and scared these people half to death. Notice verse number 30. And Caleb steeled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. Look at chapter 14, verse 6. And Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, there he is, the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes. And they spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, the land which we pass through to search it is an exceeding good land. If the Lord delight in us, he will bring us into this land and give it us, and a land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defenses departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not. Flip over to the book of Joshua, and I told you that we're going to be flipping back and forth. I'm just trying to show you the first thing that summarized his spirit was he had a spirit of just believing whatever God said. In Joshua chapter 14, verses 6 and 7, then the children of Judah came unto Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb, there he is, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said unto him, thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and thee in Kadesh Barnea. 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to espy out the land. And I brought him word again as it was in mine heart. Look at verse number 9. And Moses sware on that day, saying, surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. Look at verse number 12. Now therefore give me this mountain whereof the Lord spake in that day. Do you see it? Do you see his spirit? His spirit was summarized by just believing what God said. He had a spirit of believing the word of God. What a testimony that in the midst of a nation who did not believe God, who did not want anything to do with God, in the midst of a nation ready to stone him, in Numbers 14, verse number 10, in a nation that was ready to turn against him, when his world changed drastically after refusal to enter Canaan, even at the end of his life in Joshua chapter 14, we still see Caleb had the spirit of simply believing God and believing His word. Make no mistakes about it. Because of his faith in God, he withstood unbelievers. He claimed all God had for him. And he drove out the Anakims, which are the giants, in Joshua 15, verse number 13 and 14, at age 85. He had the spirit of believing God's word. It's interesting in Joshua chapter 15 that verse number 11 tells us in Joshua 14 that Caleb had as much strength when he was 85 as when he was 40. That does not mean if you're 85 and you're not as strong as you were as 40 that you're not right with God. That's not what it's teaching. But don't miss the thought here. This goes to show that God always provides the strength to claim all of his promises. Did you hear what I just said? If God promises you something, we need to just believe him. He had a spirit of believing God. Mark 11, 22, and Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God. There's a little 3-year-old boy, Todd, from the state of Rhode Island, who went down to the seacoast to fly a kite. And never having flown a kite before, he had obvious doubts. He was only 3 years old. But his daddy assured him that all was well and the kite would go up as planned. As Todd unraveled the string and watched the kite go up, he was heard to say, I knew it would fly, Daddy, because you said it would. But we can learn a lesson there. If we've never attempted anything in our life and God says, do it, I've already given it to you, we ought to say, I know it happened. Because you said it would, God. Do you believe God's word? Do you believe it? That's the spirit that Caleb had. Dr. Judson, not my son now, but Adoniram, I guess. Over in Burma, he was lying in a foul jail with 32 pounds of chains on his ankles. And his feet was bound to a bamboo pole. And a fellow prisoner said, Dr. Judson, what about the prospect of the conversion of the heathen? With a sneer on his face. In other words, he's in jail and he knows why Dr. Judson's there. And he says, well, what about now? What about the conversion of the heathen? Here's what he said. He said, the prospects are just as bright as the promises of God. Amen. God give us people like that. During an especially trying time in the work of the China Inland Mission, Hudson Taylor wrote to his wife, we have 25 cents and all the promises of God. That's a blessing to me, folks. The Wesley brothers, one of them said, my brother Charles, amid the difficulties of our early ministry, used to say, if the Lord would give me wings, I would fly. And he said, I, John, would answer him saying, if the Lord bid me fly, I'd trust him to give me the wings. There's a big difference. There's a big difference. God, give us the spirit of Caleb. The spirit of believing God and believing God's word. Don't miss it. In the midst of trials and tribulation, in the midst of war and wilderness wandering, have faith in God. Don't crumble. Don't crumble. Somebody said faith is never a blind leap, but a deep settled conviction that God will do what he's promised. There's no doubt about it. During the terrible days of the Blitz, a father holding his small son by the hand ran from a building that had been struck by a bomb. And the front yard was a shell hole. And seeking shelter as quickly as possible, the father jumped into the hole and held his arms for his son to follow. Terrified, yet just hearing his father's voice telling him to jump, the boy replied, I can't see you, Daddy. I can't see you, Daddy. I can't see you. And the father, looking up against the sky tinted red by the burning buildings, called to the silhouette of his son and said, but I can see you, son. Just jump. The boy jumped. Why? Even though he couldn't see his daddy, all he had, he could hear his voice, but he couldn't see him. But his daddy called back and said, I know you can't see me, but I can see you. Just jump, son. And the boy did. Because he believed his daddy. You listening to me? Sometimes you can't see God. Sometimes you have his voice and it seems like he's 1,000 miles away. And he's just telling you to jump. My wife and I share this just so the church can be praying. Our little girl, Jalen, her head's too big. Of
course, I tell people it's because she's a Jenkins. She's got so much brain power, you know, her head can't keep up with it. She's in the 95th percentile. She's acting fine and normal, so we don't expect anything to be wrong with her. But the doctor's office called us a week ago Friday. I had my wife call, and she began to pry a little bit and so on. And not trying to scare us or anything like that, because even they say, you know, we don't think it's anything to be concerned about, and we don't either, so on. But my wife kept prying until the nurse finally said, well, it could be her brain. I said, well, worst case scenario, it could start causing her brain, her skull templates to start separating. Now, we take her on Tuesday. I hope you'll be praying about that. But we're carrying that burden right now. Now, again, we don't believe anything's wrong. We don't think it is, but we don't know. You know, that same day, I begged God to speak to me. Begged Him to speak to me. And it just so happened that I was reading in my devotional reading, and I came to Psalm 46. Well, the Bible says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed and the mountain be cast into the midst of the sea. And then verse number 5 says this. I know He's not talking about my daughter, but He was speaking to me about my daughter this day. Here's what verse 5 says. It says, God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her. And that right early. I'll be honest with you. Back there in my office, I was crying like a baby. Let me tell you why. Because God spoke to me. And I'll be honest with you, folks. There are times when you don't understand what's going on. I mean, you have no idea. And all you hear is the voice of God saying, trust me, trust me, trust me. And He said, I can't see you, God. I can't see you. But He turns back and says, but I see you. And that's all that matters. Will you jump? He had a spirit of believing God's word. God give us all the spirit of believing Him. Then number 2, he had a spirit of following God wholly. He had a spirit of believing God's word, but also he had a spirit of following God wholly. We see this in Joshua chapter 14, verses number 8 and 9. It says, nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt. But I wholly followed the Lord my God. Then in the last part of verse 9, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. Along with this, Caleb believing God's word, he also followed God wholly. You know what this means? This means he had the spirit of giving God everything he had. He held back nothing. He gave himself to God completely. The Hebrew word here is full of meaning. It describes a man who gives himself entirely and completely to God. He does this because he loves God so much and he wants to serve God only. Make no mistakes about it. Caleb was committing to going all out for God, getting as close as he could to God, holding back nothing from God. He was completely, wholeheartedly devoted to the Lord. Now, this phrase that he wholly followed the Lord, or he followed the Lord fully, is used of Caleb some 6 times in God's word. But none of them is more meaningful than Numbers. Told you we're going back and forth. Back in Numbers chapter 14, verse 24. Because in Numbers 14, 24, this is God speaking. This is not Caleb saying it about himself. This is not Moses saying it about him. This is God speaking about Caleb in Numbers 14, 24. Look at it. It says, but my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him, here it is, and hath followed me fully. That's what God said about him. Let me ask you a question. Would God say the same thing about you and me? Would he call your name? And what do you say? But Jody, my servant, I'll tell you some things about him. He's got another spirit about him. And he followed me fully. Can you get any closer than you are to God right now? Are you holding something back from him? Not Caleb. Caleb gave himself lock, stock, and barrel to Jesus Christ. And God help us to do the same. He deserves us, doesn't he? He deserves us.
God help us if we hold back something from Him. We have nothing of our own anyway. Are we giving Him our all? Does He have our full attention? You know, when Julius Caesar landed on the shores of Britain with his Roman legions, he took a bold and decisive step to ensure that success of his military venture would take place. Ordering his men to halt on the edge of the cliffs of Dover, the saying goes, he commanded them to look down at the water below. In other words, they were just to look down to where they came from. And to their amazement, they saw every ship in which they crossed the channel engulfed in flames. You listening to me? See, he had deliberately cut off any possibility of retreat. He set their ships on fire. And now that his soldiers were unable to return to the continent, there was nothing left for them to do but to advance and conquer. And that's exactly what they did. And you know, today there's too many Christians who've left themselves some sort of an escape hatch back to the old life. And what we need to do is set our ships on fire and say, no turning back, God. No turning back. He had the spirit of following God wholly. Don't be like the three girls who were talking about their dads. I'm not talking about the girls, but the dads. One girl said, my father's a doctor and he practices medicine. Another said, my dad's an attorney and he practices law. The third one said, my daddy's a Christian, but he doesn't practice that anymore. Whammo. Whammo. In a crowd this size, there's no doubt in my mind, there are those who are holding something back. I'll go so far with God, but I'm not going to take my chances all the way. Let me tell you something. You're taking your chances by not going all the way. Amen. No doubt about it. The story is told of a man who rode in his car as it was being towed to be repaired. When they arrived at the repair shop, the tow truck driver told him, said, I didn't think I was going to make it up that big hill back there. The man replied, I didn't either. That's why I kept the brakes on all the way. Now that's funny. Sometimes God takes us up hills. We just don't know if we can fully trust Him, you know? So we keep the brakes on. And that makes our journey more difficult than it would be if we just gave Him all, just gave Him everything. Just gave Him everything. Charles Spurgeon told about a deep love and devotion that French soldiers had for their leader, Napoleon. He noted that it was not at all unusual for a mortally wounded soldier to raise himself up on one elbow and give a final cheer to his reverend general. It was by chance that the dying man saw Napoleon nearby. He would, with his final breath, shout some kind of a praise to his leader. It says perhaps one of the most eloquent expressions of all, however, came from the lips of a soldier who had been shot in the chest. And as the surgeon was attempting to remove the bullet, the suffering man was heard to whisper this, Doctor, if you go much deeper, you'll come to the emperor. Did you hear what I just said? If you cut me much deeper, you're going to find the emperor. And Spurgeon commented, he had him on his heart. And if a man as notorious as Napoleon could be the object of such undying devotion, how much more should Jesus Christ have our undying devotion? Now, I'm cut to my heart today, I'll be honest. Caleb challenges me because God says, that man followed me fully. He gave me everything. God knows I want that. He knows I haven't arrived. You know, a wife who's 85% faithful to her husband's not faithful at all. Did you hear what I just said? A wife who's 99% faithful to her husband's not faithful at all. Same way with a husband. A husband who's faithful 99% of the time is not faithful at all. Amen. We need to give God everything. That's what Caleb did, and so should we. Somebody asked William Booth one time what was the difference in his life. He said, I'll tell you the secret. God has had all that there was of me.
There have been men with greater brains than I, even with greater opportunities, but from the day I got the poor of London on my heart and caught a vision of what Jesus Christ could do with me and them, on that day I made up my mind that God should have all of William Booth there was. And if there is anything of power in the Salvation Army, it is because God has had all the adoration of my heart, all the power of my will, and all the influence of my life. Signed, William Booth. Is that your testimony? Kreischer, the famous violinist, testified to this point when he said, "Narrow is the road that leads to the life of a violinist. Hour after hour, day after day, week after week, for years I lived with my violin. There were so many things I wanted to do that I had to leave undone. There were so many places I wanted to go that I had to miss. If I was to master the violin, the road that I traveled was a narrow road and the way was hard." May God help us who have the Lord God of heaven and a man giving his life to a violin and we don't give our life to God Almighty. God help us with this. No wonder God says Caleb had a different spirit about him. He's got the spirit of believing God. He's got the spirit of following God fully. But thirdly and quickly, he's got the spirit of depending on God for victory. We see this in in Joshua chapter 14. And verse number 12, let me ask you a question. Has God already promised victory to Caleb? Has he? Yes, in Numbers. Now Caleb has arrived. He's looking at the promise of God, but notice what he says in verse 12. He's already got God's promise is what I'm trying to say. "Now therefore give me this mountain whereof the Lord spake in that day, for thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there and that the cities were great and fenced." Now notice it right here. "If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said." What a powerful thought. He already had God's promise. But he said this, it's God that's going to fulfill it. It's not me. You know what, summarize his spirit here. Through his life, he was constantly depending on God for victory. All the time. In Numbers chapter 14, verses 6 through 9, we see it. Joshua chapter 14, verse 12. Even though he already had God's promise, he wanted to make it clear he was not depending on his ability, but God for victory. His confidence was not in himself, but in his God. In other words, Caleb was truly a humble man who depended on God for victory. It was John Riskin who said, "I believe the first test of a truly great man is his humility. I do not mean by humility doubt of his own power or hesitation in speaking his opinion, but really great men have a feeling that the greatness is not in them, but through them, that they could not do or be anything else than God made them." Andrew Murray said, "The humble man feels no jealousy or envy. He can praise God when others are preferred and blessed before him. He can bear to hear others praise while he's forgotten because he has received the Spirit of Jesus who pleased not himself and who sought not his own honor. Therefore, in putting on the Lord Jesus Christ, he has put on the heart of compassion, kindness, meekness, long-suffering, and humility." M.R. Dehaene used to say, "Humility is something we should constantly pray for, yet never thank God that we have it." May God give us humility. When I mean he depended on God, but he had the spirit of depending on God. Oh, he could have stepped up and said, "Listen, God told you to do this. I'm going to go take it. I'm going to go do it." No, he says, "Give me that mountain. And if God will help me, then I'll be able to do it." God give us Calebs like that. Caleb had the spirit of Philippians 4:13. "I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me." Have this spirit of complete dependence upon God. Realize we'll have nothing unless God gives it. Psalm 118 verse 8, "It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man." God looked down at Caleb and said, "In the midst of a nation that's turning their back against me," it's in Numbers 14. Let me tell you about Caleb. He's my servant and he had another spirit about him. He followed me fully. What's that other spirit? Believing God's word. What's that other spirit? Following him, following God fully. What's that other spirit? Depending on God for victory. And finally, here it is. What's that spirit? The spirit of giving God praise. No doubt about it. We see this in Joshua chapter number 14. And you can turn there now because I don't believe I'm going back to Numbers. But look at verse number 6. "Then the children of Judah came unto Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb the son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite said unto him,
Thou knowest the thing that the Lord said. Look at verse 8. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt. But I wholly follow the Lord my God. And Moses sware on that day, saying, sure, the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. Now before I read verse 10, look here, please. We must keep in mind that Caleb has been with Joshua all through the book of Joshua. The battle of Jericho, crossing the Jordan River, battling the Anakims. Caleb's been in all those, okay? But notice what he says in verse 10. And now, behold, the Lord hath kept me alive. As he said, these 45 years. Look at verse number 12. Again, the last part is, so be the Lord will be with me, and I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. You know one of the interesting things about Caleb's spirit? He had a spirit of just praising God. You know what I've noticed? Almost every time that Caleb is mentioned speaking, almost every time, he's talking about God. He's talking about the Lord. My, my. You know what his praise was about? Not himself.
Yeah, I'm a rugged man. I've got all this strength at 85. I've got as much strength today as I did when I was 40.
That wasn't his spirit. His spirit was this. I'm as strong today as I was 40 years ago. Praise God for it. I've gone through all these battles at Jericho and all these other kind of things. Praise God for it. I'm alive today, not because of me, because of him. Bless his name. What a spirit Caleb's got. What a spirit. We can learn a lot from it. Psalm 28:7. The Lord is my strength and my shield. His heart trusted in him, and I'm helped. My heart trusted in him, and I'm helped. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoiceth in my song. With my song will I praise him. Psalm 44:8, in God we boast all the day long and praise thy name forever. Psalm 71:6, by thee have I been holding up from the womb. Thou art he that took me out of my mother's bowels. My praise shall be continually of thee. Psalm 107:8, 15, 21, and 31. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. 1 Peter 2:9, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praise of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. And then over in Psalm 148, you don't have to turn there for time's sake, but in Psalm 148, listen to this. Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights. Praise ye him, all his angels. Praise ye him, all his host. Praise ye him, sun and moon. Praise him, all ye stars of light. Praise him, ye heavens of heavens, ye waters that be above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded and they were created. He hath also established him forever and ever. He hath made a decree which shall not pass. Praise the Lord from the earth, ye dragons and all deeps. Fire and hail, snow and vapor, stormy wind fulfilling his word, mountains and all hills, fruitful trees and all cedars, beast and all cattle, creeping things and flying fowl, kings of the earth and all people, princes and all judges of the earth, both young men and maidens, old men and children, let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is excellent. His glory is above the earth and heaven. He also exalteth the horn of his people, the praise of all his saints, even of the children of Israel, a people near unto him. Praise ye the Lord. God wants to be praised this morning, and he has all the right to be praised. The Bible says our breath is in his hands, and we ought to praise him for who he is. We ought to praise him for what he's done in our life. We ought to praise him for saving us who's been saved and changing our life. Praise God today for who he is. That's the spirit of Caleb. Hudson Taylor was scheduled to speak at a large Presbyterian church in Australia. The moderator of the service introduced the missionary in eloquent and glowing terms. He told the large congregation all that Taylor had accomplished in China and then presented him as our illustrious guest. Hudson Taylor stood quietly for a moment and then opened his message by saying, "Dear friends, I am a little servant of an illustrious master." He's praising God. Wakefield tells of the story of the famous inventor Samuel Morse, invented the telegraph, who was once asked if he ever encountered situations where he didn't know what to do.
You know what he responded? Now, listen, you're not going to hear this in your public school history books, young people. Here's what he said. More than once and whenever I could not see my way clearly, I knelt down and prayed to God for light and understanding. He received many honors from his invention of the telegraph, but felt undeserving. And he said this, and I quote, "I have made a valuable application of electricity, not because I was superior to other men, but solely because God, who meant it for mankind, must reveal it to someone, and he was pleased to reveal it to me." That's one way that our kids are being cheated in public school. You say you have no right. Yes, I do. I went through public school. I know all about it. I love public schools. I do. We got public school Bible clubs. But they're being cheated with stuff like that right there, folks. And I'm going to tell you something. You know what his first message was after his invention? You know what it was? Quote, "What God hath wrought." Amen. He gave praise to God. And keep in mind, in the midst of a majority of unbelievers, God said Caleb has another spirit. And even though he had the same circumstances, he was born in Egypt. He saw the Red Sea part. He saw the miracles. He suffered Egyptian cruelty. I'm telling you, he had the same circumstances, but a different spirit. And God give us the spirit of Caleb. Believing God, following God wholly, holding back nothing, depending on God for victory, and giving God all the praise. For 45 years, Caleb's vision burned in his heart. He was completely content. He was not content with the average. He wanted all God had for him. And as a result, God rewarded him with Hebron. You know, it's interesting in Joshua chapter 14 that the place where Caleb was given, it's called Hebron in verse number 14. You know what that word Hebron means? It means fellowship. He did not stop short of anything until he came into complete fellowship with his God who had been so good to him. God give us Calebs. Amen. Michael, God give you the spirit of Caleb. Amen. God, give me the spirit of Caleb. Brother Bob, you come in here. You start officially next week. You have the spirit of Caleb on you. You get the spirit of believing God, trusting God, believing what he tells you to do. You have the spirit of following him wholly and get these youth to give God everything. You have the spirit depending on God and get the spirit of giving God all the praise. God, help us. Thank God we're not going to be judged according and in comparison to Caleb. Amen. Good night. I've knocked that loose and everything today. All I'm telling you this morning is this. If you're saved, praise God for it. Give him everything you've got. Serve him with your heart and life. And take the lesson of Caleb. Why don't you determine, God, when you look down here upon me, who cares what other people think? Who cares what America's doing? Now, I care, you understand, but I'm talking about a spiritual standpoint. Who cares if everybody turns against God? I'm not going to turn against him. I'm going to give him everything I've got. And may God look down here on us and say, there's one of my children. And he calls our names. And he says, they've got a different spirit about them. And God, help us to have that spirit that Caleb had. Amen. Amen. Let's pray together, please. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. Our Father God, I pray that you help me today to guide, lead, and direct this invitation in a way that pleases you. To guide, lead, and direct this invitation in a way that honors you. And Lord, you know how you've been dealing in my own heart and life about this message. Being a Caleb who gives everything lock, stock, and barrel. God, you know that's my heart. Forgive me for falling short so many times. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. As they begin to play through softly, let me ask you some questions. Would you allow me to do that, please? May I say something to you that the Bible says Caleb had another spirit? Let me say something to you. There's no way that you can have the spirit of Caleb until, first of all, you have the Spirit of God living inside of you. If there's somebody here this morning and you say, Jody, If I drop dead today, I do not know if heaven's my home. Let me say something to you. This message is for Christians that I preached. But maybe God's dealing with you because you realize that maybe you're lost. May I say something to you, friends? Even we who are saved, there was a time when we were lost. But there's not one saved person who has ever regretted that they've trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior. There's been many who've regretted that they haven't, but not a one who regrets that they did. Is there somebody today, you say, Jody, would you pray for me? Now listen, you have my word. I will not come to your seat. I will not call you out. I promise you that. But this is just to let me know if there are people who are dealing with this so I know what to do with the invitation. So somebody today say, Jody, would you pray for me? I need to be sure I'm a Christian. I'd like to know about this God who spoke to you in the midst of your little trial here with your daughter. I'd like to know that I'm going to heaven when I die. Say, this is me. I want to know that. If that's you, would you raise your hand? Anybody like that, put it right back down. I'm not going to come to your seat, thank you. You can put your hand right back down. Somebody else, I'm not going to come to your seat. I'm not going to call you out. I promise you that. But you say, Jody, I'm just not sure. Let me ask it this way. Have you are sure that you're going to heaven? Now listen, you can lie to me, but you cannot lie to God. If you're sure that you're going to heaven, would you raise your hand in the air with mine? Only if you're sure. Only if you're sure. Thank you. Thank you. You can put it down. There's some who couldn't raise your hand. If you couldn't raise your hand to that and you say, Jody, boy, I'd really like to know that. I'd really like to be able to raise my hand. I couldn't raise it. Thank you for being honest. But you say, I'd really like to know it. I really would. Anybody like that along with this one, would you raise your hand? Thank you. Somebody else? You say, Jody, pray for me. Have you say, Jody, I'm a Christian.
God's speaking to me. If God spoke and gave my testimony, see, it doesn't matter what other people think. It only matters what God knows. Would God say the same about you that he did Caleb? Boy, that's convicting to me. God said those 10 over there gave an evil report, but Caleb, because he had another spirit, because he followed me fully, I'm going to give him the land. Can he say that about you? Do you have this other spirit that Caleb had? Believing God, following him fully, depending on him for victory and giving him all the praise. If you say, Jody, God's speaking to me, I'm a Christian. But God's speaking to me about this spirit of Caleb. And I want it. I want it. I want it. I want it. If that's you, would you raise your hand? Be an honest person. You say, this is what I want. I want this spirit. I want it. I want it. Up in the balcony, along with these down here, you say, raise your hand big and high. Say, I want this. I want this spirit. Yes. If you got your hand raised, I want you to listen to me. You can have it. You can have it. It all depends on what you do with the Lord. If you raise your hand to that, that's many of you. I want you to listen to me just a moment. We have some lost people in our congregation. As soon as we open the invitation, I want every one of you to lead the way, because by you coming, it will help the lost to come as well. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? Let's all stand together, please. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. The dear folks who raised their hands saying, I'm not sure that I'm saved, they know who they are. When we open the invitation, I want you to come, and we'll take a Bible and show you how you can know. Our Father, we love you. We pray that you'll bless this invitation time in Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Brother Gary's beginning to sing. If God is dealing with you, would you leave your place and come now, please? Come now. Come now. Come now.
All to Jesus I surrender.
Come now.
All to him I freely give. I will ever love and trust him, in his presence daily live. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender.
They're playing through soft. I need every head bowed, please, and every eye closed. If you raised your hand about salvation,
I want you to look right up here at me. Would you do that? Do you know the person that's standing beside you right now? Do you? Do you? Okay, I want you to poke her on the hand. Would you do that? Would you do that? If you get poked, I want you to look up at me, please. I want you to come with her, okay? We want to take a Bible and share with you how you can know that the Lord is your Savior. You know, it's amazing how having one person come helps people to respond. We want to help them, no doubt about it. We want to help them. But we're going to take a Bible and share with you. We're going to share with you how you can know the Lord. If you're still standing, I'd like you to look this way, please.
God's used the message, there's no doubt about it. I'll be honest, Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church, what I want and what our preacher wants are people with another spirit. I'm talking about another spirit from the world, another spirit from just everybody else who just goes along. God, help us with it. No doubt about it. I'll be honest, I'm going to repeat what preacher says. I paid you to preach this morning. Why he ever called somebody like me, I don't know. I thank God he did. He's been good to us, hasn't he? Amen. Amen. God, give us another spirit. Preacher, you go right ahead.
Won't you be seated for just a moment, please, while we're finished praying with these and getting information from them. Thank you very much, Brother Jody. We need that spirit of Caleb, don't we? Holy, follow the Lord. What we need to do. It's the only way we can really get the blessing of God, to holy, follow the Lord. I appreciate that emphasis, Brother Jody. First, Carmen Stacy, from over in our children's church, accepted Christ as her Savior today. Amen. God bless you. Carmen, you're receiving Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior today. You want to live for Him. Is that right? You want to go to heaven when you die. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Okay. Okay, this is Bob and Lindsay Mann, folks on the stand. Brother Bob is coming in next Sunday. They're moving up this week, and he's going to be our youth director. So we thank God for leading this fine couple here. They're members at that little church down in Powell, Tennessee, Temple Baptist Church, run about a little 2,000 Sunday school with Crown Colleges and Dr. Sexton. And we're delighted to have Bob and Lindsay Mann. You want to pray for them, that God will use them with a holy follow the Lord, Bob, like Brother Jody said. And God can use any of us. Do you know that? He can use. I don't care who you are. I don't care who you are. If you want to wholly follow the Lord, I mean, the Lord will reach down and pull ability out of you that you don't even realize. Or he can use you in spite of your lack of ability with God's help. All we need is God's help. And without his help, we're not worth 5 cents anyway. But Bob, God bless you. And we're glad to have Bob and Lindsay Mann and pray for them. And there's a great work to do, Bob. God bless you. You may be seated. Did this young lady get saved? Sarah Gibson. Sierra. And you have trusted Jesus as your Savior. God bless you.
Amen. Amen.
Rode her bus when she's a little girl. See, that's what these buses are for. Bring people in. Get them under the sound of the gospel. And get them saved. God bless you, young lady. Amen. Amen. Is there a motion we receive the man's on their transfer of letter from Temple Baptist Church to Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church? A motion we receive them. Motion made. Second. All in favor say aye and raise your hand high. Aye. Opposed, the same sign. If you're opposed, you ought to be ashamed of yourself. Okay. Well, amen. Thank the Lord for the good service this morning. Brother Bob, stand here. Come by and greet Brother Bob, Lindsay, and let them know you're going to be praying for them as they move up this week and with us starting full-time next Sunday. Let's stand. I'll tell you what, we better just let me get out through here and you're dismissed because the buses are there in children's church. They're going mad over there right now. And let me get up through here and you're dismissed.